scripture reading this evening will be taken from 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, I'll be reading from the New King James. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, seeking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. If I knew Nikki was on the reading, I would have given him a few more verses. But we're going to be there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at this situation that we find here. Our youth event, we have made a post on Facebook. You can help that out by sharing it on occasion, because every time you share it, it pops up in your feed. It's more likely that other people will see it. So, there's no law on how many times you can share it. You can share it as many times, you know, share it, so on and so forth. Also, on a personal note, I'm enjoying the Tuesday morning class at 11. We'll be having that again. If you can make it, we would be glad to have you. That's one of the great things of my new job. I have a lot more flexibility, and that's one of the things that I'm able to do is teach that class, and I'm very thankful to have that opportunity. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, we understand that Paul is writing these letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And you think of the relationship that Paul has with Timothy, it's almost this, you know, he calls him a son in the faith. It's like this mentorship, where Paul is really trying to guide Timothy, help Timothy, and he's really laying out things that he thinks are foundational things that Timothy is going to face and go through. And I really take these things to heart. Timothy being a young preacher, of course, when these are written, you know, people argue about Timothy's age, but he's probably, you know, 30s or so at this point. Now, in the book of Acts, he's probably a lot younger, but, you know, when you grow up with somebody and you see them grow up, they're always young in your eyes, and I think that's how Timothy was perceived in Paul's eyes. He's writing these letters to encourage him, to guide him, and to encourage him. And we see so many things in these letters. And what we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a cautionary tale and really just a warning of things to come. So let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." We're going to continue throughout this passage, but one of the warnings given out to Timothy is there is going to be a departure from the faith. A departure from the faith. You know, you think about that, that's not something really comforting for us to think about, departure from the faith, but, you know, departure from the faith happens each and every day. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who follow the word of God for a time, and then they depart. And Paul is warning that there is going to be a departure, that there are going to be individuals that are going to leave, that are going to stray from the faith, the one faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we see that idea of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the one faith that we all hold so dear. People are going to depart from it. They're going to walk away from it. And actually, throughout this letter, we're going to see the reason that people are departing, and we're actually going to see the cure for individuals that have departed. You know, we have 66 books that have been given to us, and we know that these are inspired in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. It says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." These books that we have are inspired. But what we have to do is we have to handle them rightly. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Certainly these 66 books that have been given to us, we have to rightly divide them. And I think one of the divisions that people miss out on many times is the division between old and new. I think that's one place that we have to divide it. We don't have individuals going around today trying to make an ark, even though we see that Noah did receive those instructions to build an ark. There are some things in the Holy Scriptures that we realize were for other individuals at another time. So we have to rightly divide. We have to make sure we're just studying, because there's a warning here of the departure. Do you understand that there are departures that take place? That there are departures that happen? In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it's almost like a guarantee. It's a guarantee that's being laid out to Timothy. Let's look at that first verse. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. You know, you think about those words, you just read over them, but those words and the weight that perhaps they had on Timothy, a young preacher, making this connection, taking the words of Paul, letting them sink in, and hearing those words, some will depart, Timothy. Some will depart. You're going to be working hard, you're going to be preaching about, you're going to be doing all these things, some will depart. Depart from what? The one faith. The one faith that was delivered. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all the saints. The one faith that was delivered once and for all time, people are going to depart from it. You know, the same things that we see written to Timothy, they kind of ring true to us, because each and every day we see individuals that decide to walk away from the faith. They walk away for all kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons. You know, you think of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, where it talks about individuals that follow for a time and then they go back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, and having known, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to wallowing in the mire. You know, sobering warnings all throughout the Bible, sober warnings to Timothy, sober warnings all throughout the Bible of this idea of departing from the faith. And yet, when we go around the religious world in our society today, it seems like that's non-existent. Nobody is departing. In fact, we're all part of the same thing, don't you know? We all have the same beliefs. We have the same core values. No one is departing. No one's going astray. There's no departing going on. But yet, we see again and again and again, we see the letter to Timothy. We see all of the scriptures laid out that people can turn. People can depart from the faith. I think of Galatians chapter 1, the warning that's given out there. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Sobering warnings about the one faith, the gospel, and people departing from it. Do you understand that people can depart from the faith? Because I suggest to you, if you go out in the religious world, this is not a message that you're going to hear, not a message that's going to be spread, not something that's going to be talked about, that individuals can depart. Individuals can leave. Individuals can exchange the truth for a lie. It's not a popular message, but one that I think the Bible is trying to ring through to us. That there have been departures, and there will be departures. And the sobering warning going out to Timothy is, be ready. Be prepared, because things like this are going to happen, and how are you going to respond? You know, you think about the one faith, the gospel. The one faith, the gospel, the Bible, I believe, can only produce one thing and one thing alone, and that's a Christian. It can't produce anything else. The seed, the Word of God, cannot produce a Baptist. It cannot produce a Catholic. It cannot produce a Methodist. And you say, well, that seems a little bit extreme, but if we really think about it and boil it down, the Bible can only produce one thing. Similar to how a seed can only produce one thing. A watermelon seed will only produce a watermelon. An apple seed will only produce apples. But our world goes around and tries to buy it and says this book can produce all kinds of things. In fact, the way that our society is going, it's almost like we have different religions that can teach totally different things, but they can go to the same place. It's almost like they're saying the Bible can produce a Muslim or the Bible can produce a Buddhist or something of that nature, because they say, you know what, it doesn't really matter what you follow. At the end of the day, we all end at the same place, don't we? We have to be ever careful and mindful. I suggest to you that this is nothing new. When we look in the Old Testament, when we consider the law of Moses was only designed to produce one thing, really, a Jew. But yet, when we come to the transition of the Old to the New Testament, what do we find Jesus dealing with? A whole bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees. I don't think that any of these were an intention of the law of Moses. In fact, when Jesus comes in contact with these individuals, he's very quick to tell them where they have misunderstood the law of Moses, where they have made mistakes, where they have went in error, where they have departed from the teachings that they're supposed to be following. And we can look at all these occasions where Jesus meets up with these individuals. I think of Matthew chapter 19, when they try to corner him and question him on certain issues. And Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 4. He says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read? Have you not read? You individuals know what you're supposed to be following. You know what you're supposed to be reading, what you're supposed to be studying, what you're supposed to be looking at, but you have departed. You're not following those things that you're supposed to be studying. He warns them again and again and again, these Pharisees and Sadducees. He warns them of their practices. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 15, he really gets after them, Jesus says. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you set up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a present make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel the land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Jesus is talking to these individuals and said, you went off, you departed, you went away from those things that you're supposed to be practicing. Do we understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that individuals can depart? It seems like a basic idea, one that we would understand, one that we hold dear, one that we look at and we accept, not in a way that we are happy about it, but in a way that we're just trying to be realistic and look around and say, yes, people are departing from the faith. People are walking away. Do we know that? Because as I go out and I talk to religious friends and I have religious discussions, it's like this idea of departure is something that can never happen. And yet we see Paul warning of it. We see the warning throughout the New Testament, this idea of departure. And yet it's being trying to be ignored and put under the rug at every occasion. What I like about this letter in Timothy, not only does he talk about this departure that's going to happen, but he talks about why it's going to happen. So let's look back at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and let's see the cause of the departure. Why are these individuals going to leave? Why are these individuals going to leave? 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is the problem? Why are these individuals departing from the faith? Well, they're heeding deceiving spirits doctrines of demons, and they're listening to lies. You know, things haven't really changed, have they? Why do people depart from the faith? Because they're listening to things other than the faith. They're listening to other things besides the holy words of God. They're listening to what the world is saying. They're listening to lies. They're listening to doctrines of demons. They're listening to things that are really hypocrisy. Here comes the lie. Here comes the deception. And here comes the other doctrine. And people buy it, hook, line, and sinker, and they run off the other way from the faith because they're taking these lies. See, the Bible warns of this. The Bible warns that we have to be a cautious people, a studious people, clinging to the truth and the words of God. Because the world at all occasions, at all points, is going to be dangling things in front of individuals trying to get them to depart from the faith, to abandon the faith, to run away from the faith. And how are they going to do it? Lies, deception, other doctrines. Not a whole lot has changed. Now it takes on a lot of faces and looks a lot of different ways, but really it boils down to that. Whatever is not the faith, whatever is not the truth, it's a lie. It's a deception. It's another doctrine besides the doctrine which we should be holding to, the doctrine of Christ. We continue to have these warnings throughout the Bible. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world. There is a cautionary tale that there is lies, there is deceit, there's other doctrines out there, and you have to be cautious. But you know what our world says? All these doctrines are okay. All these doctrines are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no difference. They're all alike. I suggest to you that Satan's doctrine is any other doctrine but the doctrine of Christ. Satan's doctrine is any other doctrine but the doctrine of Christ. There is one doctrine, there is one truth, the doctrine of Christ, which we must follow and make sure that we are following it to the best of our ability. Any other doctrine is from Satan, and it's a lie, it's a deceit, it's a falsehood, it's another doctrine that's trying to lead people astray. I like what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. I think it really boils it down. What do you do when you leave the faith and leave the truth? You're really exchanging the truth for a lie. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, those who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. There's a lot of individuals out there that are buying into the deceit. They're buying into the lie. They're buying into the other doctrines that are out there, and those other doctrines are Satan's doctrines. Their lies, their deceit, their other doctrines just put out there so individuals will be drawn away. They will depart from the faith. Surely there's got to be something out there besides Christ's doctrine. I tell you that there isn't. Well, why would you say that? Because when I look through the Bible is painting a very clear picture of what it is. It is sufficient for all of our needs and practices upon this earth. I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is that telling me? That we have the Holy Scriptures is sufficient for all things. And if it's sufficient for all things, then anything else is not that one thing, is not that gospel, is not those things that we should cling to and those things that we should hold to. I think of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives us some things that pertain to life and godliness. No, he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What God has given us is sufficient to lead and guide our lives. But that's not what the world says. It says there's something else. There's a little addition to God's Word. There's a little subtraction to God's Word. There's a little bit more that you need to know about. It's a lie. It's a deceit. It's another doctrine that is just trying to lead people away from the gospel of Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Once again, these warnings are all throughout the Holy Scriptures, and yet somehow our society, the religious world, is trying to tell us there is no need to be concerned about departure. There is no need to be concerned about people going astray. There are no lies out there. There are no deceit out there. We all can be one, and we all can be fine. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. We see that word again. Deceit. According to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, in many ways, God has made it very simple for us, but we won't accept the simplicity which He's laid before us. One God, one faith, one baptism, and yet people run away from the simplicity of all things. We don't want one body. We don't want one church. We don't want one faith. We don't want one baptism. They want to run around and find every other thing, every other lie, every other deceit that they can find, instead of just clinging to the truth which God has given us, the simplicity which lies before us. We have to be careful. You know, sometimes people talk about Church of Christ doctrine. You know, that kind of sends shivers down my spine. Because, you know, I don't think of it as the Church of Christ doctrine. You know what I think of it as? Christ doctrine! Christ doctrine! That's what I think of, Christ doctrine and the Apostle doctrine, because that's what we read about in the Holy Scriptures. I think of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the Apostle's doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The Apostle's doctrine and Christ's doctrine are the same. Those were inspired individuals. But I don't think of Church of Christ doctrine. I think of Christ doctrine. Whatever Christ says, the church does. It's Christ's church. That's where our doctrine must come from. I think of 2 John and verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Think about that. If you don't abide in the teachings of Christ, you don't have God. It's a very simple idea, but one that our world is running away from. They say you can have God, but you don't have to have the Bible and His teachings. What a crazy and radical idea. But that's what's all around our society. As I talk to individuals that are my age, as I go around and talk to my friends, yeah, you can have God without having His teachings. That's not what 2 John verse 9 says. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What the Bible teaches, the church needs to practice. The same thing with Christians. Now, when we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first thing that people start looking at is they start looking at these doctrines that are mentioned, these departures, and they say, these sound like a group that we know about. They say, this sounds an awful lot like a group that we know about, and I'm not necessarily here to pick on these groups, but any departure from the faith is a problem. And when we can clearly look at the Bible and see that there's a departure from the faith, I think that there is a call for us to at least have a discussion with individuals and try to make sure that we can get on the same page. Everyone thinks of the Catholics, right? We look at this passage, it says forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You know, one of the primary practices is, you know, bishops can't marry. Well, I look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife. It's almost the opposite of what some religious groups teach. And when you go throughout the Bible, it is amazing how many times there's almost a direct verse that would contradict what many individuals do out in the world. I think of Galatians chapter 1. You know, we have the Mormons who say an angel dropped a message. But what does it say in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9? Even if an angel comes and brings another doctrine, don't listen to it. And yet we have individuals departing from the faith. We have Bible verses that say, hey, don't basically forbid these individuals to marry. We have people that are saying forbid these individuals to marry. We have individuals out there that say, hey, you can't eat this for this religious reason, but yet we have the Bible here say you can. What are we going to follow? We're going to follow the doctrine of Christ. We're going to follow the teachings of Christ. I'm not here to necessarily pick on individuals, but when we have a standard, we can tell if an individual is right or wrong, right? I'm building a house. We do measurements, you know, and we're ordering the trusses. And we have our measurements and we sent those in. And, well, the first time I think they sent us one, it wasn't quite right, so on and so forth. The test one, you know, they send you the test, so on and so forth. And we looked at it and said, that's not right. Based off what? The measurement. What we have in standard, we can determine whether something is right or wrong. It's supposed to be 8 feet or it's supposed to be 10 feet, and you sent me something that I didn't ask for. When we have a standard, we can determine whether something's right or wrong. Think about measuring. Think about building. Think about our laws that we have. It'd be hard to give someone a speeding ticket if we didn't have a standard, but we have a standard, don't we? Miles per hour. Now, if we go to another country, it's something else. They have a different standard. Kilometers per hour. But we have a standard, and when you have a standard, you can say whether an individual is right or wrong. But people don't like that, don't they? They don't like that. We have a standard, brothers and sisters in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It gives a big long list and says, we're thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the standard. Will we apply the standard to ourselves and to our lives as we go throughout our lives? You know, people love going to the Old Testament to justify their actions. The question is, are we rightly dividing the word of truth? Are we using it in an appropriate way? People try to depart from the word every chance they get, it seems like. But what's the message for you and me? You don't have the right to make your own rules when it comes to Christ's doctrine. You don't get the right. You don't get to make up your own standards. You don't get to make up the rules. You have to follow what Christ has given to us. You think of Galatians chapter 1. We've already referenced that once. But we see the seriousness of tampering with what has been given to us. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, but even, verse 8, but in Galatians chapter 1 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Don't tamper with the words of God. Don't tamper with them. Don't mess around with them. But our world has made that just common practice. 2 John, verses 9 and 10. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, we have to balance a lot of Christian principles here. A lot of individuals sometimes struggle with this verse. I mean, we have to balance Christian principles. We're supposed to love our neighbor, of course. We need to. But I think really the message that's being given out here is there is a serious charge against those individuals who have departed from the doctrine of Christ, who give no regard to the gospel of Christ and the doctrine which he has taught. And there are individuals that are like that, that would have no problem coming into your home and saying something that contradicts the word that Christ has given. And you know what has become so common is individuals, members of the Lord's church, have become afraid to stand up for the doctrine of Christ. To say, to just even say, hey, can you find that for me? Can you show it to me in the doctrine of Christ? It's over in warning giving to Timothy. Timothy, there's going to be a departure. And certainly we acknowledge that as we look around our world today. Not only does he tell him that there's going to be a departure, he tells him why there's going to be a departure. Because they're going to follow lies. Because they're going to be deceived. Because they're going to follow other doctrines. You know, what's good is Paul doesn't leave it right there. He continues on and he gives Timothy the solution to departure. How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with individuals departing? How are we going to deal with these individuals that are saying, Lord, Lord, but not doing the things that God says to do? Verse 6 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have fearfully followed. But reject profane and old wives' tales, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to the end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Well, what's the solution? There's a lot there. And he's addressing multiple things all at once. But one of the first things you see is instruct. Well, what's instruct mean? It means teach. Are we teaching those that are around us? Are we teaching our young ones? Are we teaching the next generation? Are we trying to teach those that are around us? He says, if you teach, if you instruct, you're going to be a good minister, a good servant of Jesus Christ. Could that be a sign to yourself? See, the standard is really God's holy word. It's not me. And there's a good reason it's not me, because I made a lot of mistakes in my life. And I would never be a good standard. The standard for a Christian will always be Jesus Christ and the words of God. It should never be us. And so many times when individuals look at the church, they try to make it us, and really it's not us. It's Jesus Christ. He's the standard, and He is the one that we are trying to hold to. Instruct in relation to the teachings of Jesus Christ. But not only that, we see reject profane and why old fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. He's giving him the instructions that are going to be helpful. Teach is the solution to departure. As we look around the church and we talk about our youth and we talk about all these things, we talk about people departing and leaving the church, you know what I think Paul is trying to say very simply? You know what the solution is? Teach. 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 Instruct them. Instruct them. And you know what's interesting is I think Timothy is doing this, and Paul actually is encouraging him. I think Timothy is doing his job. And you know what's still going to happen? Because he's teaching, people are going to depart. And he's trying to encourage them. Keep teaching. Don't get discouraged. Keep teaching. But when Christians get so discouraged that they stop teaching, that's really when we've lost. When we get so discouraged, we look around the world and we say, you know what? We throw up our hands and say, it's got too bad. No one's listening to the gospel anymore. And so you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop teaching. That's not the solution. It's to keep on teaching. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He doesn't necessarily say you're going to be the most successful, but they're going to come in hordes and hordes and convert. That's not what he's saying. He says the solution is to keep going. Are we teaching on? In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Are we being doers of the word? There's some actions that we need to be doing as Christians to combat the departure that's all around us. I think of John chapter 14. There's so much in that chapter. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The world's not too fond of that today. You continue on to verse 21. It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What are we talking about here? The doctrine of Christ. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my word. The Bible tries to paint it out very simple. The doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ. Will you follow it or will you depart from it? And really, clinging to those words is all we have. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. The solution to so many things is the doctrine of Christ, is the teachings of Christ. Have we abandoned it? In the second letter, I love what Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, trying to encourage the young preacher Timothy. I charge you therefore before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But because they have eaten, according to their own desires, they'll heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What's the solution to departure? Teach on. Even in moments of discouragement, even in moments where it seems like the deck is stacked against you, that's the message. And there is no guarantee that it's necessarily going to turn around in your lifetime. Where did you hear that in the Bible? It's a good question we should perhaps be asking our religious friends. Is it in the apostles' doctrine? Is it in Christ's doctrine? Because if it's not there, why are we clinging to it? As he continues his letter, he says, "These things command and teach." Are we teaching those things which God would want us to teach? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Teaching is so very, very important. It's one of the most powerful weapons on this earth. And when Christians become silent and they stop teaching, a lot of bad things happen. A lot of bad things happen. Hitler said, "If you let me control the textbooks, I'll control the state." When we look around our nation, it looks like Satan's got a pretty good hold on our educational system and many individuals and places of influence. And the only solution to the departure is teach on, even when it doesn't look so bright. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love nothing more than to help you with any of those issues here this evening. If you're subject to religious invitation, we ask that please come as we stand and as we sing.